Good afternoon, everybody.
Thank you for coming. My name is Emmanuel Torres, and I'm a postdoc at the University of Florida, in Gainesville. And today I'm going to talk to you about off-season cover crops for organic strawberry production in Florida, in the same line that Aliyah was talking. Actually, I think I'm the second presentation of three presentations about the same project, so that should be exciting for you. So I'll talk about the strawberry industry first. In Florida, we're the second largest state producer of strawberry, right after California. Our center of production is West Central Florida in the Dover and Plant City area. And we have, depending on the year, anywhere between 8,000 acres to 11,000 acres planted in the state. Now, from that, about 2% is organic production, which is mostly done by small farmers. Now, like every industry, we all have challenges, but particularly in Florida, pests and weed controls for the strawberry systems are one of the top challenges. And this is especially difficult for organic growers because they don't have the same, necessarily they don't have the same tools as conventional growers do. Now, our system is a little different from the rest of the states. So the goal of the growers in the state of Florida is usually to get the first set of fruits at the beginning of December. As you can see here, we got a 10-year summary of the monthly temperatures and prices in Florida. And in order for the growers to get their fruits in December, they need to plant in early October, which is the same time where the temperatures are just starting to drop. So this means that our season starts in October and it goes all the way, in most of the cases, to March. After that, many growers will either plant something else or just leave the field as it is into the next season. Now, for organic systems, the USDA requires that we have a crop rotation that helps with erosion of the soil, maintain soil organic matter, or at least help maintain it or improve it, and also we have to manage plant nutrients and provide pest management. So we have a situation where growers have 6 months with nothing at the field, and they have requirements to be able to still produce in organic systems. So that's where cover crops might be a good option for them, because there have been reported to enhance soil properties, reduce the weed pressure and the pest pressures, and help suppress especially nematodes in the soil, which might lead to an improvement of the situation that they have when they come with a cash crop, in this case the strawberry systems. Now, in Florida, there hasn't been much research in terms of how the cover crops perform in strawberry systems. So our goal was first to identify what cover crops to use and how they will perform in this situation. Right now, the predominant species is sunhemp, Crotalaria juncea. And even though it's being used by most of the growers, is the seed availability is not always the best, and that species has a relative high acquisition cost compared to other potential alternatives that can be in Florida. Another alternative can be hairy indigo, which have been reported to produce between 3 and 5 tons per hectare of dry biomass, and it's particularly appropriate for sandy soils as is. It performs good in drought situations. And also American joint vetch and slender leaf rutherbugs have been reported to be good options. Those are legumes that can fix nitrogen into the soil and also produce high biomass that later might contribute to organic matter in the soil or promote the soil health. So with all this in mind, our objective was to evaluate the effect of off-season cover crops on soil health, weed suppression and plant parasitic nematodes densities in organic strawberry productions in the state of Florida. The way we did this was we took 3 off-season cover crop treatments and we compared that to a non-cover crop or a weedy control. We set up all this in a split plot design with 4 replications with the cover crop in the main plot and 4 cultivars to be assessed in the subplot. And even though we had that, for this presentation, for the objective of this presentation, I'm only going to focus on the cover crop performance. And these are the rates that we use for the specific treatments. Our first treatment, I'm just going to go a little fast for to describe the treatments, was, again, song hemp. We use the cultivar Tropic Song, which is a short-day cultivar. It's the most commonly used in the state. It has been reported to produce between 100 and 200 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen and between 5 and 11 tons per hectare of dry biomass at 60 days or 8 weeks. The second treatment that we selected was hairy indigo, and these treatments were selected from previous research that was done back in 2012. Different cover crops were evaluated by our lab, and we identified the song hemp and hairy indigo were good options as monocultures to be evaluated, so we retried this. Hairy indigo is, again, a legume. It had been reported to produce between 80 and 150 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare and between 3 and 5 tons per hectare of dry biomass, too. Our third treatment was a four-way mix of song hemp, hairy indigo, Ascinomini americana, and Crotalaria ocraluca. And the reason why we have this mix was because from our previous research, we identified that, again, hairy indigo and song hemp were good options. But as requested by growers, they ask us if we can do a mix of treatments. So we took what we consider to be the most adequate for that, and we combine it in one treatment. For this particular treatment, we shift from Tropic Song as our cultivar for song hemp to AU Golden, which is a day-neutral cultivar. And the idea behind this was to allow to... This plant does not grow necessarily as fast as Tropic Sun does, which might allow a little more light penetration for the rest of the species to get established in the treatment. And at last, we have the control, which was a weedy control. We measure, we established these treatments for three consecutive seasons, and we follow the treatment with the cover, with the strawberry season. So what we measure? We measure cover crop performance in terms of biomass production. We also measure soil health, total nitrogen, and organic matter. And the soil health score, particularly, is an analysis that we did at the lab. Well, we sent to a lab to be done. We collected the samples at the beginning of the strawberry season, before the establishment of the cover crops, and at the end of the strawberry season. And they usually measure different traits that are related to this, the health of the soil, including CO2. Respiration as an indicator of the microbe activity, amino nitrate, and the volumetric aggregate stability. We also measure broadleaf, grass, and sedges biomass. We combine all that into one variable, and we call that total weed biomass, and we also measure that. We measure light penetration and leaf area index and plant parasitic nematodes populations in the soil. So starting with the biomass, at 8 weeks after transplants, our cover crops were established for 8 weeks, and then they were terminated. And at 8 weeks, we have an interaction between cover crops in year. In 2016, song hemp resulted in the highest biomass, while hairy indigo resulted in the lowest. In 2017, we didn't find any difference among the treatments. But later in 2018, we found that the four-way mix had a higher biomass production, followed by the song hemp, and later and less by hairy indigo, meaning that our results in terms of biomass were influenced by the season that we have that year. Following that, we have the leaf area index. We did not find any difference among treatments in terms of leaf area index, and which again is an indicator of how many leaves we were getting in terms of the different treatments, and we relate that to the light penetration. In terms of the light penetration that we had throughout the canopy of the cover crops, we had an interaction between cover crops and the season. In 2016 and 2017, we didn't see difference among the treatments. However, in 2018, hairy indigo had a higher light penetration compared to the four-way mix. So in terms of the organic matter in the soil, we did not see an influence of the cover crops in the soil organic matter. We took samples at 20 centimeters, and we started with about 1% of organic matter in our soils. Our soils, especially in our experimental site, are considered pretty poor. In Florida especially, we had sandy soils. So as we can see here, again, there was no difference. There was no effect of the cover crops. However, in the analysis of variance, we did find a difference in between the sampling dates. We run a regression analysis, and even though the ANOVA resulted in difference, the model that we predicted, it does not explain any change in terms of the organic matter. We had average of 1%. It stays like that. We think that the difference on the ANOVA might be related to that outlier that you guys see within the red square. In terms of the total soil nitrogen, we started with about 30 pounds per acre of nitrogen, which is considered low. As again, most of our soils in Florida are just considered low in nitrogen, and we did not consider this nitrogen for further fertilization. However, if you notice here, I don't have a mouse, but the green line that you see at the beginning of the graph is representing where the cover crops were planted, later followed by the strawberries and so on for three seasons. In the second season of the strawberries, we went a little higher in terms of soil nitrogen, and then we dropped again by the end of the third season. And this might be related to the rainfall that we had in the three seasons. The first season the rainfall was fairly low, which is expected in terms of our season for strawberries. But then in 2017 and 18, the rainfall that we started to get was a little higher, which might have affected the samples that we collected in terms of the nitrogen that was in the first 20 centimeters. Lastly, again, for nitrogen and organic matter, we did not find any effect of the cover crops. And then for soil health, we also did not find effect of the cover crops. However, we see there is a slight tendency in time for the soil health score to increment in our experimental sites. Right now, we have an average of 5.9, which is considered low. Anything that is below 10 is considered low in terms of soil health score. However, something interesting is that we just might need a little more time and keep measuring this variable. In this particular case, the last 4 points that you see here, closer to me, the lower one is the weed control. So it just might be the case that we need more time to see an influence of the cover crops and actually find difference. So far, we did not find any. Last, in terms of the nematodes counts, we took the samples and we sent it to the lab. They measure every single species, apparently, that they can find. However, our interest was mostly for the sting nematodes and root node nematodes, especially for strawberries. And in this opportunity, we did not find any difference among the treatments or the cover crop treatments. In terms of the weed control, the control of the weeds, we did measure again, just as a reminder, broadleaf grasses and sedges, and then we combined that into total weed biomass. We found an influence of the cover crops for the broadleaf biomass, and then we had an interaction for the total weed biomass. For the dry biomass at 8 weeks for the broadleaves, we did not find there was no difference between hairy indigo, the four-way mix, and the sun hemp in terms of the biomass that we're producing. However, the weedy control resulted in a higher biomass for broadleaves. And this was an increment of 70% compared to the cover crop treatments. In terms of the interaction, we have a tendency of the weedy control, which is the yellow line right here, to be the highest in terms of biomass of wheat biomass production. However, it's not clear how the cover crops were influencing in every year. There was an interaction between cover crops and year. So in 2016, for example, the mix resulted in the lowest biomass for wheat. However, in 2017, hairy indigo and sun hemp resulted in the lowest. And then in 2018, the mix and the sun hemp resulted in the lowest. So as a summary, for crop performance, the cover crop biomass, like I said, was season dependent, and the leaf area index and light penetration through the canopy was fairly similar among treatments. In terms of the soil health and nematodes, there was no effect of the cover crops in soil health, organic matter, or total soil nitrogen on nematode populations. However, for wheat biomass, the cover crop treatments resulted in a reduction of 70% of the biomass of the broadleaf compared to the weedy control. So as a conclusion, sun hemp, hairy indigo, and four-way mix that we included our 4-way mix that we use as a treatment, incorporated into the soil as a green manure, helped reduce the broadleaf wheat biomass by 70%, and perform similar in terms of leaf area index and light penetration through canopy. Thank you very much.